If you will, please pray with me. Lord, we just thank you for today. We pray that throughout the service that you speak to us, regardless of what part of the service is, we pray that you just bless this word that you're about to hear. Amen. All around the world, we're seeing conversations around fair treatment. I would say true fairness is the vision of the kingdom of God. Defining fair treatment is the sticking point. What is the definition of fair in each context? I don't think we are referring to the type of weather, a county event, or the complexion of one's skin. Merriam-Webster has 11 entries for fair. Isn't English fun? We want to examine entry one that additionally has 3 points. A defines it as marked by impartiality and honesty, free from self-interest, prejudice, or favoritism. Example, a fair person to do business with. B has 2 points within it. The first is conforming with the established rules. So, is it allowed? The second is consonant with merit or importance. An example, a fair share. C is open to legitimate pursuit, attack, or ridicule. An example is it fair game? Some conflicting ideas in those definitions, despite being lumped all together by Merriam-Webster. I will be honest, I have not heard of fair use used in the context of conforming to rules. Jesus butted up against four of these definitions. We commonly outwardly say God is definition A. God rules over us without favor and impartiality. But we also say that God does favor those who follow the commandments, as B1 defines fair. God chose Abram, the Jewish people, or the chosen people. Does that line up with God being impartial, as we believe and say? We say God is impartial and that those who profess Jesus as Lord are the ones that go to heaven. God leaves it up to us to follow that rule, if you will. So we've now combined A and B1 into our belief system. But then, what about those pre-Jesus that weren't Jewish or even lived close enough to know who the Jewish people were? Did those living in Eastern Asia know who the Jewish people were? Maybe, maybe not. Did those who live in the Americas know who the Jewish people were? What about everyone that died in the flood or even pre-flood? How are they judged? That brings us to definition C. What is fair game here? Jesus showed that questioning was fair game. Jesus both asked questions of the religious leaders, but was also opened himself up to questions and even ridicule. Jesus' arguments were almost strictly internal, eternal to the Jewish community. Jesus rarely confronted the Roman rule. When there was an attempt to trap Jesus by asking him about taxes, Jesus asked, "Whose face is on the coins used to pay taxes?" The focus isn't on the external system right now, but on how we work. Are we bringing the needed gospel within our own community? This isn't to say we shouldn't speak truth to power, but that we need to know what the truth is first, or at least be struggling with it. Asking fair questions to one another and to God about how all this works. But as definition C states, open to legitimate pursuit, attack, or ridicule. Legitimate being a key word. That brings us to definition brought up in B2, consonant with merit or importance, a fair share. Consonant meaning being in harmony. Was the payment system in the parable read fair? It was equal, but is equal fair? Well, the landowner did pay everyone what he agreed to, so it was consonant with each person at the time of their employment. but was it harmonious over all? Let's back up a little and look at the word equal. The payments were equal, but was that fair? We won't go into a detailed definition of equal, but impartial shows up there too. The landowner was impartial. No one was treated differently. However, this wouldn't conform to the normal rules of pay even today. Most people in the U.S. are hourly, so pay is based on the amount of time worked. I can easily see people thinking getting a raise if they saw those that worked fewer hours get the normal 8-hour rate. If your wage is $20 an hour, you make $160 in an 8-hour day. Now, someone else that worked 2 hours got $160. You're now doing new math in your head. That is $80 an hour. So $80 an hour times 8, woohoo, $640. That is over half of what you make in a week. But then you make the normal $160. Grumble, grumble. Obviously, this employer doesn't value those that do more work. Why treat these newcomers better than us? Why do they get more an hour than us? Why do they get the fatted calf when I have been here all along? I was timely and dutiful. Equal seems unfair. Jesus was against unfairness. Jesus went to the temple and flipped the tables at the unfair practices. Jesus tore the veil at the temple with his death. The temple was structurally unequal. Depending on who you were, you had more or less access to worship at the temple. There were several courts, a Gentile court, a women's court, a court of Israel, aka men's court, a priest's court, and finally the high priest was able to enter the holy place, the Ark of the Covenant being in the Holy of Holies. Your status determined the closeness to God you could experience. The Israelites viewed the Ark as God's seat. With the different gates, it is questionable how much of the temple and activities there one could see from the Gentile court and the women's court. When Jesus died, the veil that covered the Ark in the Holy of Holies was torn. God was freed, if you will, from the Ark. God was no longer enclosed. Of course, we believe that God was never enclosed and that the Ark was only a symbol of God. But that symbolism was torn. Ezekiel spoke of living waters of God flowing from the temple. So was the temple, or was the system of the courts at the temple fair or unfair? They weren't equal, but they followed the instructions for building the temple. If you travel to Jerusalem today and you go to the Western Wall, the unequalness continues today. There's a women's section. There's a men's and a women's section. The women's section is quite small. And while Shelby and I were there, it was a bit of a chore for Shelby to get up to the wall because of how crowded the women's section was. Whereas I was able to walk right up to the wall without any problem, as the space was much larger, and there was even a covered section where Jewish men could study out of the elements. So we have fairness and equality. Does one trump the other? If so, which? Does context matter in deciding? Maybe. There's a third term that might clear some of this up, equity. Equity is more about balancing out to create a true equality in a fair way. Take an example of three people watching a baseball game from the outfield. There's a fence which ends the field of play, and these three people are watching from the fence. All three people are different heights. The tallest can see over the fence without issue. The middle's head just reaches the top of the fence. The shortest has no view as their head is at the halfway point. For the sake of this example, we're going to say the fence has to be solid and opaque, so it can't be clear or it can't be a chain link fence. Under fairness, this situation is impartial. The fence is what it has to be, and those watching the game have to deal with the situation. Now say people complain, which is also fair, as fairness allows for legitimate open attack, that they are attending the game but can't see the game. Equality would say, okay, everyone gets a platform to stand on. Everyone is treated equal. No matter who you are, you get a platform to stand on. With the platform, the tallest person now gets an unneeded boost, as they could already see the game. The middle person can now see the game. The shortest person still can't see the game, as even with the platform, their head is below the fence. The solution is now fair and equal. Everyone is impartially given a platform. But is it fair if the shortest person still can't see the game? The shortest person can still state that it is not by pursuing an open and legitimate attack that they cannot see. Equity would create a different solution to the situation. The tallest person wouldn't get a platform, as they don't need one. The middle person would get a platform. The shortest person would get two platforms, one stacked on top of the other. Now all three can see. But this isn't equal. The middle person got more than the tallest person, and the shortest person got even more. It created an equitable situation, but now it appears unfair because it was an unequal distribution. Or is it fair and equal? The equality comes in the leveling of view. Each person now has an equal view. The equitable solution determined the needs of all three and created a balanced approach to create the outcome where all three people could see. Everyone seeing the game was the original complaint. The middle and shortest person complained that neither of them could see, and therefore the situation was unfair. A balancing of resources based on the desired outcome seems unequal since no one received the same amount of resources, but the result was equality and fairness. Looking back at the parable, we then can go through the same progression. Fairness based on traditional rules, B1, the wages would be proportionate to the amount of time worked. But those hired in the middle of the day could argue it isn't fair that they were unable to find work and therefore lost out on wages. And then likewise, those hired at the end of the day, the landowner's goal was to pay what was right. The landowner's view was a day's wages was what was right for the people to be paid. The landowner may have determined that more workers should have been hired that very morning, or the landowner determined it would be right to check throughout the day to ensure all those who were seeking work were hired. The three people attending the baseball game had no control over how tall they were. They didn't choose to be tall or short. The laborers didn't choose to be unemployed prior to the times they were found. It may or may not have been implied, but if the landowner went out in the morning and found a group of unemployed people and hired them all, that when going out again, the landowner found a new group, and that group and the subsequent groups had gathered there after not finding work. Those found at 5 o'clock may have spent the entire day looking for work, and therefore gathered there at the end of the day to rest from their long search. The equitable solution was that everyone got the same pay, even if everyone was searching for work and could only find it later in the day because of where they lived or where they looked. Is it their fault that they were without work at 9 or at noon or at 3 or at 5? Was that fair? Did they have an equal opportunity to find work? We can't quite answer that question, But the landowner did seem to find new laborers every time he went out, every time the laborers agreed to come to work. The landowner told them they would receive what is right. They weren't told they would receive a full day's wage. There wasn't any known advantage to going to work later in the day. Those at five didn't know they were going to get paid the full day's wage. They appeared to be wanting to work, even if it was just for 1 hour. The landowner determined that equity was the right thing to do that day. It was fair and equal, as everyone was treated impartially. Everyone worked and received the full amount. There was no favoritism towards those that worked more hours. It was equal, as everyone received the same amount. No one received more than another. Everything was balanced out to create a fair and equal payment, despite the circumstances that led up to their hiring. Take another example. Say a group of people attend a standing room only event. As each enters the room, they are handed a yellow card, a green card, or a purple card. Along the floor are lines, and the groups are divided by color: yellow in front, green in the middle, and purple in the back. The situation is fair, as that is the established rule. It is unequal, as everyone was randomly assigned. To make it equal, everyone could stand closest to the stage to the time that they arrived. Equity would have everyone arranged by shortest to tallest, so everyone could see without obstruction. The year of Jubilee had a similar idea. Return everything every 50 years to return the distributed resources after being sold and separated into groups due to one's life's circumstances. Do we grumble at those that get into heaven when they profess Jesus as Lord in the last half of their life, when we profess at a much younger age? God is equitable in inclusion. C.S. Lewis in The Great Divorce even goes as far to suggest that even those that die still have a chance to attain heaven. Lewis argued that while very hard, God believes in an equal opportunity even in death. Lewis does leave it ambiguous if that chance is unending, as the opening that the metaphorical bus goes through appears to be closing after the protagonist passed through. A provocative thought about how might God's love work and persist throughout eternity. A provocative thought about heaven, how heaven functions, and the idea of who's in and who's out. What does God view as equitable for the afterlife? How might questions of loved ones being in and out affect us and our hopes and prayers for God's equity? We started off with the idea that the kingdom of God is about true fairness. But is that the best starting place? The definition of fair, in the sense we mean here, is very open. We can get it to fit many situations that we might want to overall call fair, but might not quite be so. Equality also seems a noble goal and approach, but again, equal might keep in place ultimately unfair situations. Not everyone needs an equal resource in every situation. Equity seems to fit the vision of the kingdom of God. Take the rich young ruler. Jesus tells him to give all he has to the poor. The ruler walks away. Had the ruler given all he had to the poor, he would now be poor and would be one to benefit from the giveaway. If you extrapolate that across everyone, equality and wealth would be balanced out. It would create an equitable solution. However, you have Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus says he's only going to give half of his wealth. Jesus doesn't rebuke him and say, no, you must give all. Maybe because Zacchaeus also plans to pay back those he cheated fourfold. Maybe because Zacchaeus offered without prompting. Seemingly different yet is Jesus being anointed with the expensive perfume. The disciples rightly point out that selling the perfume would allow for a great donation to the poor. Is Jesus contradicting his teachings on the kingdom? It's probably better to think of it as Jesus is permitting the practice of celebrating special occasions. We will always have work to do with creating equity in the world, with the continued unveiling of the kingdom. However, it is okay to do something for someone else or for oneself on occasion. Fairness, our question, should be a focus on equity. Paying the laborers a day's wage, despite when they finally found the work, the tearing of the veil that separated the Holy of Holies from the people, the river that flows east of the temple in Ezekiel's vision, those that lived along it, regardless of origin, are to profit from its abundance. The kingdom of God is one that can come, that anyone can come to eat, to drink without expectation. Come, buy, and eat without money and without price. The banquet is set and all are welcome. The garden is open and is available to all those who come. Lives are transformed in jubilation. The first shall be last and the last shall be first and everything in between. Because in the kingdom there is no first and there is no last. May we be a people that cast down the notion of ranking. May we be a people seeking out inequities. May we live out the equitable kingdom for all to see. That is more than fair, as the equitable kingdom is a vision over visibility, seeing through the torn veil. Come, let us build that equitable kingdom so that it is no longer over our limited vision and is now visible to all. Amen.